Welcome to First Post Masterclass, a brand new podcast series where elite athletes break down their craft for you. My name is Shantanu Srivastava, and joining me in this episode is former India fast bowler T.A. Sekar. Sekar represented India in two tests and four ODIs in the 1980s, after which he moved on to MRF Pace Academy, and he has been credited with the fast bowling revolution in India. In this edition of First Post Masterclass, we will talk about the intricacies of fast bowling.
Hello, Mr. Sekar. How are you doing?
Yeah, fine. Absolutely fine.
Okay. All right. So, like we have discussed, this is the masterclass where I wanted to talk about the intricacies of fast bowling. So, yeah. So before I get to that, sir, I mean, just wanted to know about your early life, childhood. Where did you grow up, and you know, how did the interest in fast bowling happen?
See, I grew up in Tinagar, basically
Chennai.
It is Chennai, yes.
Yeah.
And there's a place called Tinagar, and it's called Mambalam.
Okay.
So I was playing in a club called YSCA. Mm-hmm. This YSCA tournament, they have been conducting for the last 40-45 years or something like that.
Okay.
So he used to have three A, B, C, D, four teams. Mm-hmm. So from there, tennis ball, cricket, to cricket ball, cricket, and then playing league, and then he used to conduct weekends, some 5-day test matches, Saturday, Sunday, and then the next Saturday, Sunday, like that.
Okay.
So there is no formal coaching as such. It's only mm-hmm. just practice.
Mm-hmm.
And then nobody taught me how to grip the ball. Nobody told me how to bowl an outswing or inswing.
Wow.
How you have to run. There's no formal coaching at all.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I grew up, I had a big physique.
Mm-hmm.
Wanted to bowl fast.
Yeah.
And then bowled as fast as I could, and then made so many mistakes on the way up. Mm-hmm. And still lucky enough to play a couple of matches in one day for India. That's all.
Yeah. And so who were your growing up heroes? Any fast bowlers you looked up to? Because there were not many in India when you were growing up.
No. Those days, if you look at it, is not there's no television or anything like mm-hmm. that. Okay.
Right.
Okay. Till we finished college, there was no television. At all.
Yeah.
Even if television was there, the Doordarshan television, we can't even see the bowler
mm-hmm.
like that.
Right.
So that once the television came, and then only started watching some matches. That too, those days there's not much of telecasts at all.
Right.
So hardly we used to see some matches.
Mm-hmm.
See, mostly everybody was going to the stadium those days in the 70s and early.
Okay.
So only in the 80s, late 70s, the Pakistan series was one series in 77, 78.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That was the first series. And West Indies series, we all went to the stadium.
Okay.
Television was not that great at
mm-hmm.
that time.
Mm-hmm.
So, 80s and all, then slowly every Australia series started coming, and then India, whenever India was playing outside India, mm-hmm. that series was shown in the television and all. So the telecast was good because its production mm-hmm. was Australian production.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Channel 9 or something.
Right.
So we all watched like that, and but the bit mid after India won the World Cup and all those things, then the television thing completely changed. So not much of cricket we saw on the television. We saw more on the field. In the sense. Mm-hmm. Present in the test match for 4 or 5 days, watching the Indian players like Pataudi, Bode, and all mm-hmm. these things, and then later on to Ajit Wadekar.
Wow.
Then Prasanna Venki, Kishan, mm-hmm. because in those days there was no fast bowler in India.
Yeah.
See, my friend, the Vasu Paranjwe, used to call ribbon cutters. Sunil Gavaskar has opened the bowling in five test matches or something.
Yeah.
Eknath Sulkar, because they have, when you inaugurate a shop, they cut the ribbon, not the celebrities come and like that. So even the new ball will be selected by Bishan Singh Bedi or somebody else.
Yeah.
India, only when they went abroad, they thought about fast bowlers. Mm-hmm. And then there also Indian spinners mm-hmm. only dominated.
Mm-hmm.
The 70s and the early 80s, it was mm-hmm. like that only. Only mm-hmm. after the emergence of Kapil Dev, people believed that India can also have a fast bowler.
Right.
So okay. When that inspired a lot of people to take up fast bowling.
Mm-hmm.
And Kapil Dev started bowling the way in which, because the previous day used to say Ramakant Desai used to bowl quick.
Yes.
Amar Singh used to bowl, because there was no television, no? Because mm-hmm. you can see one test match in a year, or maybe mm-hmm. some years there won't be any test match at all. Because India was considered not a great side those days. Great mm-hmm. players were there, but the Australians will tour once in 8 years or 9 years.
Yeah.
England will tour once in 6 years or 7 years. Sri Lanka was not a test playing country. Bangladesh was not there.
Yeah.
Pakistan was not touring India.
Mm-hmm.
So West Indies also one of the top teams now. They will come only, India has to tour twice, then they will come once.
Right.
Indian tour will happen once in 4 years, 5 years. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So hardly radio commentary. Mm-hmm. In the 60s and all, it is only radio commentary, no television at all.
Right.
So early 70s, our television came. So mm-hmm. most of it, it's all will be imagined.
Mm-hmm.
Wesley Hall means he'll run from the boundary line, and Griffith used to come boundary line, and we all know this. Griffith used to chuck.
Yeah. Okay.
So this is how we learned our cricket, basically. Yeah. See, because I never saw Dennis Lee bowling.
Right.
So later part of my career, Dennis mm-hmm. Lee was my idol.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
When I started playing first-class cricket, Dennis
right.
Lee, because I used to keep college cricket, I used to keep Dennis Lee's bowling action famous. It's a jump in the delivery stride.
Yeah, yeah.
That photo, I used to keep it in my kit bag.
Wow.
So I never thought I'll have associate with Dennis Lee.
Yeah,
the first opportunity came, I had a very good job with SPIC, but I thought Dennis Lee's association will make my, I was coming out after a knee injury.
Right.
And then, so I grabbed it. So coming back to that 80s, so I, see the thing is, what happens is Bucci Babu tournament was a very big tournament in
yeah.
in India
yeah.
that time. Because all the Mumbai players used to come and play, because it is to be some August, September, so that it is a prelude to the Ranji Trophy.
Right.
The Ranji Trophy used to start by late October or early November. So
yeah.
in that tournament, I bowled quick, and then Ashok Munkar saw that, and then immediately he went and told everyone this. I mean, Chennai was bowling quick.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think he's the quickest bowler in India and all those things.
Wow.
So, and then I got some 6 or 7 wickets against Bucci Babu in that Mofatlals.
Okay.
Even though we lost the finals.
Mm-hmm.
But the word spread, and then immediately there was a pick for Ranji Trophy. And then the first ball in Ranji Trophy, I got a wicket, Shahid Akbar,
wow.
Hyderabad against Jai Shima was watching that.
Mm-hmm.
People who played in Bucci Babu went and told Jai Shima that there's a guy in Chennai bowling quick.
Mm-hmm.
So I was straight away after playing one Ranji Trophy match, I was picked for South Zone.
Oh, after just one game?
One game, yeah.
Wow.
Because the Indian team was in Australia at that time.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So from South Zone, nearly about 6 guys were in the Indian team.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a chance to play in South Zone. I got 5 wickets against Central Zone.
Right.
So people, I came into the reckoning that somebody is bowling quick.
And that 5-4 was again on debut for South Zone?
Debut. And then next year, not a great year, because Ranji Trophy, Sunil Walson came from Delhi to Chennai, so I
yeah.
couldn't get a match. A couple mm-hmm. of matches I played, and then I was dropped.
Mm-hmm.
Then again, this Bucci Babu came,
mm-hmm.
and then that is the year I made a mark, Ashok Munkar and also that is bowling quick mm-hmm. and all the things. So I had a good Ranji Trophy season that year. I got 9 wickets in Kerala, and then
mm-hmm.
people know that I'm quick. They started preparing slow wickets whenever I play for Tamil Nadu.
Mm-hmm.
Then the Dilip Trophy, 5 wickets, I played against West Zone.
Yeah.
Again, I got 5 wickets against West Zone, where the complete West Zone team was Sunil Gavaskar, Anshuman Gaikwad,
mm-hmm.
Ravi Shastri, Sandeep Patel, Dilip himself, everybody was playing.
Mm-hmm.
So I got 5 wickets, and then I was selected for rest of India
mm-hmm.
before the Pakistan tour.
And this was
82 October.
Okay.
82 October.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sunil Gavaskar was the rest of India captain.
Mm-hmm.
And then we won the Irani Trophy, chasing to 420 in just slightly 1 hour on the third day, and then whole full day of fourth day.
Yeah.
420 runs he scored.
Mm-hmm.
Ashok Malhotra got 100, Arun Lal got 80.
Yeah.
And both innings I bowled 20 plus overs and then didn't get a wicket. But I bowled quick and then hit Mohinder Amarnath on the helmet, Chetan Chauhan.
Mm-hmm.
So I was made a standby for the first Pakistan tour.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So I was not selected because I didn't get a wicket, but Sandhu got 3 wickets or something like that. So Sandhu was picked.
Mm-hmm.
So then I didn't go, but Madanlal went.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't play first 4 days. Test matches.
Yeah.
He had some problem with his team, so he had to come back. So because last 2 test matches were in Lahore and Karachi.
Mm-hmm.
So the first 2 test matches were Lahore and Karachi. So both the test matches they gave green cups.
Yeah.
So Sunil Gavaskar specifically asked me because I want Shekhar to come because we'll be playing on a green top.
Mm-hmm.
So I was flown out and then I went and played both the
test
on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't get any wickets. A lot of catches dropped.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So what happened is immediately after the Pakistan tour, Sunil Gavaskar was thrown out of the captaincy. Kapil Dev took over the captaincy, but I was dropped for the West Indies tour.
Mm-hmm.
Again, Madanlal, without any fitness test, he was picked.
Mm-hmm.
He got operated. Nobody, those days the fitness was not given.
Mm-hmm.
The player is,
right.
says that he is fit, they will not test fitness or anything like that.
Okay.
If the player says I'm going getting a slight pain on my back, then he'll be branded as a injury prone, so he'll not be considered.
Right.
Not like today. You can say that I'm not playing for the next 6 months and then you prove your fitness and then you're back in the team.
Right.
Those days it was, because there's no chance of getting to know about fitness and what is fitness and all those things.
Mm-hmm.
So then what happened is I was not picked for West Indies.
Mm-hmm.
Rejected. Because after the West Indies tour, India participated in the World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
World Cup also I was not considered because the guys who went to West Indies were picked for World Cup.
Right.
Basically.
Yeah, more or less the same team. Right.
More or less the same team.
Yeah.
Because they beat West Indies in Burbage, so that they thought that this is the team should play, so that they played on that.
Mm-hmm.
So after that I was playing Ranji Trophy, got a lot of wickets and all those things. And then 85 again I got David Coe's team came to India.
Mm-hmm.
So I played for South Zone and then got David Gower out in both innings at the end of the match and I got 3 or 4 wickets in the game.
Mm-hmm.
End of the match, David Gower said that he is the quickest bowler I've seen on this tour.
Wow.
And I don't know why he is not fit for India.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing even West Indies, Malcolm Marshall and others said in 83.
Mm-hmm.
That is all, a lot of politics were there because I don't want to say it.
Mm-hmm.
Unnecessarily giving names, it will not look good at all.
Right.
So a lot of politics were there, some big selectors were there, they're all supporting people from their own zone and all this. Those is zone politics.
Yeah, it was very prevalent back then.
Huge. So then what happened is, then I continued to play, no problem. And then I continued to play, then I was picked for the India, one day team against England.
Okay.
One day team, we played 3 one days, Bangalore, Nagpur and Chandigarh.
Yeah.
And then I got, because Chandigarh on that day, they are selecting the team for the 1985 World Championship.
Right.
India won that.
Yeah.
So all the, because match was, it rained so heavily the previous night. Match was reduced to 15 overs.
Mm-hmm.
I got 3 wickets in
okay.
the 3 overs. 3 overs I bowled.
Yeah.
And I was dropped again.
Okay,
Chetan Sharma was picked and then Manoj Prabhakar was picked and all these guys were picked, so I was dropped.
Mm-hmm.
But Sunil Gavaskar was the captain at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So after that I did, I had a small knee injury.
Yeah.
So the pain was getting because there is no medical facility was also not great at that time.
Yeah.
So I went to England and then to America on a friendly tour.
Mm-hmm.
So there, America, you got operators, but there was no guidance or post-operative care and all those things. So I couldn't play Navy for about 1.5 years.
Okay.
Now, I played after coming back from America, I played the Dilip Trophy and the other trophy. But pain was too much because then I gave up. Everybody advised that you are limping a lot.
Okay.
And I think you should give up. Then I got again operated.
Yeah.
It took nearly after that about 12 to 14 months to come back into the reckoning. By the time I joined as a coach, and I was working maybe way back after the knee surgery.
Right.
Second knee surgery. So I got a call, Dennis Lee had come to India. And I met him.
Right.
Because I was training in Chepauk, because Space Foundation was started at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
We had some trials or something like that.
So
he saw me and then he said, who is that fellow? He's played for India, but he's a fast bowler. Why don't you get him as a assistant coach for me?
Yeah.
So like that I joined.
So this was 1988, right?
87 September. So Vengatravan also was very keen on me joining because he was one of the advisors for this. So I joined the Space Foundation in 88 April. So then I got to know that first time in my life I got to get to coach as generously. So after the first trial, so myself and Dennis Lee, we used to bowl in the nets, and then he told me a few things, and then I felt really different and started getting good outswingers and all those things. Then in the press conference, they asked, who is the best pupil you have? He said, my best pupil is T.A. Shekhar. I think he still got potential to play for India, all those things. So then Tamil Nadu didn't pick me for the Ranji Trophy that year. I played a couple of matches. After that, I was dropped. And then Madras India came to Chennai. And then Shekhar, what are you doing? I said, I'm not playing anywhere. Why don't you come and play and help Madhya Pradesh cricket? So myself and Sandeep, we played for Madhya Pradesh that time. So that year, Madhya Pradesh qualified for the semi-finals, knockout. Those days only knockout, no, none of these super leagues. So I got some 30 wickets or something like that year, and then 2 5 wicket hauls and all those things. I was picked for Dilip and the other. So Raj Singh saw me playing the other, and then I hit Arun Lal on the head. East zone was the central zone. So Arun Lal came and told Rajbhai that he's still bowling quick. I think he's still good enough to play for India. So I was called for the West Indies tour camp in Chennai.
Okay.
89.
Yeah, 89 tour.
So after becoming a coach, so I was picked. And then the last day of the camp was held in the Test Foundation.
Okay.
I think I hit again Sanjay Manjarekar or somebody. Some zone selectors got together, some players got together because they wanted to push somebody from another zone. So finally, myself and Roger Bini, we were dropped.
Okay.
So that day after that, I continued to play for one more year, and then I thought there's no point in playing because it's so much of animosity and politics prevailing in Indian cricket. There's no point in. So by the time I became a coach, so 1991, I said, okay, I'll call it a coach. I don't want to be a competitor for my own trainings.
How
I was playing some local club cricket and all those things.
Yeah.
Just because, honestly, first initially he said when he came in 1988, I want somebody who is currently playing first class cricket as a coach so that he can demonstrate, he can train with them, he can bowl with them, he can run with them and all those things.
Right.
So that motivated me a lot. So I used to bowl in the nets along with Dennis Lee and all those things. And then, like that. So it helped me a lot. I was doing that till about 98, 99, like that.
So how was the experience of bowling with Lily in the nets? And no, he was somebody who you looked up to, like you told me.
Yes. Yes. It was a dream come true because I never thought I'll ever be able to meet Dennis.
Mm-hmm.
One of the reasons it motivated me to join MRF was, at least at this time, that time I was 31, 32, okay?
Okay.
I thought still I have some cricket, and then I want to prove some of my peers that I'm good enough to play for India.
Mm-hmm.
So it became very close and it became very far because of the mm-hmm. politics.
Right.
So, it was whatever I learned, it is because of about fast bowling, which when I became a coach, I didn't know anything about fast bowling.
Right.
Because I never had any formal coaching.
Mm-hmm.
But I learned so much. Okay, Dennis is one fellow who never kept anything to himself. Because he allowed me to learn. He told me a lot of things. He took me to Australia and introduced a lot of people, a lot of different type of coaches, different type of... And he made me do the level 3 coaching. I was the first one in India to do the level 3 coaching mm-hmm. in Australia.
Okay.
So, I became more familiar with the scientific approach mm-hmm. to the
mm-hmm.
fast bowling coaching.
Right.
So, it is not that... so that I could identify what technique is, what mistake. You see, the best thing is, honestly, is... See, basically, if a good coach is one who can find a fault in a player, and he should be able to give a solution to how to correct that problem.
Yeah.
He is a good coach, not somebody who has played 100 test matches or 400 wickets.
Right.
Okay, or 10,000 runs.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody who can find a fault and give solution with this. Mm-hmm. How to correct that.
Right.
How to get over. He is the best
mm-hmm.
coach.
Mm-hmm.
So like that, Sinusley was one who can find a mistake after watching 2 or 3 balls.
Okay.
And he can tell you without talking about too much of theory, practical. We'll see the video and then tell this is what is your action.
Mm-hmm.
This is what you are doing wrong. If you do this, mm-hmm. you'll be better.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have seen Javagal Srinath coming to the Pace Foundation in early 91.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
He was predominantly in-swing bowler.
Yeah.
But he made him bowl outswing in one session.
Oh.
Venkatesh Prasad also predominantly pushing the ball into the batsman. He made him bowl outswing in one session.
Okay.
So that is the impact he can. Because there are some coaches who are inspirational coaches.
Yeah.
When you watch Dennis Lee, because he used to be so athletic.
Yeah.
And then when you watch him, you will feel like you want to bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He wanted a sprint coach.
Mm-hmm.
A dietitian, a trainer,
mm-hmm.
and a yoga specialist, and a dietitian. These are the 5 different people he wanted.
Oh.
In those days,
yeah.
he has drawn a schedule
mm-hmm.
that any activities, because the fast bowlers have to run thrice a week, long mm-hmm. distance running,
yeah.
at least 40 minutes to 35 minutes to 50 minutes mm-hmm. they have to run.
Yeah.
Jogging only.
Mm-hmm.
He used to take different course. One day we'll go to the beach. One day we'll go mm-hmm. to the stadium. One day we'll, once a month or twice a month, we'll mm-hmm. go up the hill training.
Okay.
That, so that we don't do that long distance running, not more than thrice a week.
Okay.
Sprinting sessions, that is, sprinting coach was there, because fast bowling, 70% of your effort or efficiency is in your run up.
Mm-hmm.
So okay. in those days, he gave so much of, because he, when he started as a fast bowler, his action was all over the place because of mm-hmm. that he got back injury.
Right.
So everybody said, you go under the knife and then you get back. So he said, I will not go under the knife.
Mm-hmm.
So he went and worked with an Olympic sprint coach.
Mm-hmm.
So he remodeled his run up.
Mm-hmm.
So he met one Frank Pike, on biomechanist.
Yeah. yeah.
So he remodeled his action.
Mm-hmm.
So, from a tearaway fast bowler, he became a bowler of more than 100% perfection.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he lost the speed by a couple of kilometers, but yeah. still he was bowling 90 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, he is one guy who, what he practiced or what he did to become a better fast bowler, that is what he was teaching.
Mm-hmm.
He is not pulling something out of the book or some manual or something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, yeah.
So he himself has written a book called Art of Fast Bowling.
Yeah.
And in that, he has written what all he did, how he became a test cricketer, and then how he was, how he got the back injury, mm-hmm. how he got over this nearly for 16 to 18 months, he didn't play cricket.
Mm-hmm.
He took rest and then remodeled his action, running, everything.
Mm-hmm.
After that, he became a world-class fast bowler the game has ever produced.
Right.
So I had the opportunity to work under him. That was that. In that case, I was lucky.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I was very lucky that I worked with him for 20 years.
Great.
To me, he's an excellent teacher,
mm-hmm.
excellent human being.
Mm-hmm.
People might say that on the field he is. He played the cricket that way only because he doesn't want to. He never played a benefit game.
Oh, okay.
Never played a benefit game because he doesn't want. Even in a benefit game, if he plays, he will bowl with the same vigor as he bowled international.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because tomorrow he doesn't want people to say, I hit Tennessee out of the park.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
Once he enters the field,
mm-hmm.
he brought Daryl Foster, who is supposed to be a biomechanist.
Mm-hmm.
He worked on a lot of bowlers, suspect action and all.
Yeah.
He said Dennis Lee was like an animal the moment he enters the boundary line. Outside the boundary line, he's a perfect gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
So, one of your questions, the attitude what he had was, never say die.
Mm-hmm.
He says, when the captain gives the ball to you, you should deliver, you should make sure that you honor the respect what the captain has in you. So you
right.
should be able to win the game for your captain.
Mm-hmm.
So that is what I did for Ian Chappell.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes Ian Chappell used to, when he was not bowling quick, he said, if I want to give it to spinners, I have Kerry O'Keefe.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need Dennis Lee to bowl spinners, he used to say.
Mm-hmm.
So that will motivate him to
yeah.
bowl faster and he'll get wickets. At the
yeah.
end of the day, they'll have beer and then say, I just wanted to pick you, that is why you bowled.
Yeah.
So like that, yeah, bowler's attitude is such that he should not see what the wicket is. What
mm-hmm.
So he should rely on his skill
mm-hmm.
and he should deliver it.
Okay.
It is up to the batsman to make mistakes and then you will get a wicket.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of people who say, no, there's no grass, it's a dead wicket, nothing will happen. And then psychologically they pull themselves down.
Mm-hmm.
That should not
right.
be the attitude for a fast bowler.
Right.
So, fast bowler should be always
mm-hmm.
trying to get wickets, win a match for the
mm-hmm.
team.
Okay. So Mr. Sekar, a lot of people say that you are born with this certain ability to bowl fast. Is it true or this ability can be developed over time?
Fast bowlers cannot be manufactured.
Mm.
Okay, I'm talking about fast bowlers who can bowl on 140 plus.
Yeah.
They cannot be manufactured.
Mm-hmm.
So you should have fast twitch muscles to
right.
run fast and then move fast and then your arm rotation should be faster.
Yeah.
You should stabilize very well. You need a lot of strength on your leg, on your core.
Right.
And you need a lot of strength there. So your run-up should be very efficient. So
right.
these are the attributes. If you have, see people say you have to be 6 feet 5 inches tall. No, it is not.
Mm-hmm.
Malcolm Marshall was not tall, Dale Sain was not tall,
mm-hmm.
okay, Shami is not tall,
mm-hmm.
they are all bowling quick only. So, height is an advantage, you
yeah.
tend to deliver the ball at a higher place,
mm-hmm.
so you could get a bit of bounce. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that is not a big thing. Height is, if you are around 5'9", 5'10", I think it's a reasonably good height. Or 5'11", is a good height.
Yeah. You're
not doing 6'5", 6'7", or something like that.
Yeah.
If it is there, then it's an advantage. That's
mm-hmm.
all.
Right.
Fast bowlers, when I say 140 plus, you cannot manufacture a bowler.
Mm-hmm.
As somebody who bowls around 125,
mm-hmm.
people are saying, I'll make him bowl 140. That is also not possible.
Mm-hmm.
If 125, somebody is bowling 130, 132, because your pattern of movements have to become smoother, and then as you go, bowl more and then you will automatically
mm-hmm.
your technique will strengthen and you will increase the pace
mm-hmm.
by 4 or maybe
right.
yard and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right.
You can see a lot of bowlers. When Kapil
mm-hmm.
Dev came, he was not that
mm-hmm.
quick. After
mm-hmm.
once the action became very smooth, then he started bowling. He knew when to bowl fast, when to bowl within himself. So he changed the variation
right.
of speed. Okay.
Right.
So there are some bowlers who bowl with got natural speed.
Mm-hmm.
See, like, take the case of Bumrah. He doesn't run very fast. He runs, but his arm action is good. The last 4-5 steps, he goes through the crease.
Right.
That makes him to bowl fast.
Mm-hmm.
And he has got a weird action, so that he's born with.
Yeah.
So that should not be changed at all.
Yeah.
That should not be changed. If he changes, then he's not Bumrah. He's going to be Bumrah. So, basically, you should try to work with the natural ability of the bowler.
Yeah.
And then you should fine-tune, and you should also give options to a bowler what suits him.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot say, this is what you should do, and this is what you will have to listen to me, and then you have to follow only this. You should give option A, B, C. Whichever suits him, you should take it.
Mm-hmm.
So that is why a coach will give him 3-4 options. That means he has got more knowledge about how to make a bowler to bowl in a particular way.
Right.
That is what will suit a bowler, the coach has to identify first.
Mm-hmm.
Simply, you cannot say there are various ways of coaching.
Mm-hmm.
Authoritative coaching is there, empowering coaching is there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
There are authoritative coaches, my way or highway. Mm-hmm. You would have seen that in the Indian team also. I don't want to name that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But empowering is somebody who allows the player to enjoy what they are doing, and then allow them to see. Empowering coaching is basically you allow the players to gain confidence with the coach.
Yeah.
Okay. So that then people, once the player gets successful, then they will listen to whatever you say.
Mm-hmm.
So you should allow, because you cannot force something into the into a player.
Mm-hmm.
You should be able to allow them.
Mm-hmm.
See, Dennis Lee always said, if I am advocating some change in a bowler, I will ask him to bowl 6 balls with his old action.
Mm-hmm.
And another 6 balls, you try this. If it suits you, continue. If it doesn't suit you, you can always go back to your old action.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So when he tried the way Dennis Lee wanted him to bowl, then automatically he found something different, and then maybe 1 or 2 good balls would have come in that.
Yeah.
And then he will come and say, well, how do you feel? Mm-hmm. Which one you feel is better?
Mm-hmm.
In 99 out of 100, the people came and say what Dennis Lee advocated was better.
Mm-hmm.
So that then if that is comfortable, you continue to do that. If it is not comfortable, you can always go back. So the trainee had a lot of confidence, the coach is not going to spoil my action.
Yeah.
So that is how he coached actually.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so see, Virat Kohli in past has said that an angry fast bowler is an asset to the team. I remember he saying things in one of his press conferences. So is it good to have an ego as a fast bowler when you step in the field?
It is maybe anger, but see, the thing is, a fast bowler and somebody bowls 140. A lot of adrenaline is going into is produced during his running, and then all those adrenaline coming out. So naturally, he will be pumped up. The pressure goes up, he will be pumped up, and then he would have seen the other fast bowlers being very strong, and then they don't. Because there are some batsmen who are also nil. Okay. Batsman also needle, and then if you play in Australia, they sledge.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So previously, the Indian team never gave back, but nowadays it is not like that.
Yeah.
They are giving back.
Yeah.
So the thing is, you cannot allow the Australians to go on top of you or Englishmen to go on top of you.
Mm-hmm.
I think West Indies is the only team which never sledged, but they literally scared the people by bowling 90 miles an hour fast bowlers. That itself is scary.
Mm-hmm.
At any point of time, 90 miles an hour fast bowler is bowling, and for a change, Richard will come and bowl, or Larry Gomes will come and bowl a couple of hours. They also take wickets.
Yeah,
West Indies never sledged anybody, but Australians and English people, they sledged, because they also had that way of, okay, Indians means they look down the nose and all those things. It was there those days. Okay.
Yeah.
So, but the thing is, if you give back to them, then they step back.
Yeah.
So that is what Kohli is doing. There is nothing wrong in
Kohli,
but you should not lose your cool.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. The great example was 2003 World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
Indian bowlers, they lost their...
Right, in the final.
Final, yeah, and right. then we lost the final to Australia.
Yeah, right.
See, the India had a terrific journey till the finals.
Right.
So, but it happens because that is where you should know when mm-hmm. to be very aggressive,
mm-hmm.
when to be within yourself.
Mm-hmm.
If the opponents are going over above you,
mm-hmm.
then you have to put them in their place.
Mm-hmm.
But okay. simply just for the showing that you are aggressive and all
yeah.
those things, then you lose your cool, you will come and bowl short here all over the place.
Right.
By the time they have scored 40, 50 runs, and then you have made the opponents
yeah.
to settle down.
Yeah. Alright, so let's talk about the specifics of bowling now. See, firstly, I would like to know, sir, is there a right way to grip a ball? I mean, some people hold it with both their fingers behind the seam and some have split fingers. So
basically, I would have shown it
yeah.
because to me, grip is something individual. Okay.
Okay.
There is no, see, there is a basic grip.
Mm-hmm.
Both the index finger and the second finger,
right.
Either side of the seam, and then the thumb position, which is individual again, wherever mm-hmm. it is comfortable.
Okay.
And you should not hold the ball too far inside.
Mm-hmm.
You should not hold the ball too far outside, so that.
Okay.
So it is well balanced grip.
Mm-hmm.
Grip is something well balanced, so that it will allow you to release the ball
mm-hmm.
in the seam, so that the backspin happens.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So the grip is something which is more individualistic. There are bowlers mm-hmm. who keep both the fingers very close. There is no gap mm-hmm. between the fingers. There are some
mm-hmm.
bowlers who keep the fingers. They have a longer gap,
mm-hmm.
Bigger gap.
Mm-hmm.
So that is what I'm telling you. There is no specific grip as such.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe for in-swing and out-swing, the shyness kept on the inside and outside
yeah.
and then... they keep the seam towards the slip and all those things. There are some bowlers which are actually bowled with a straight seam
mm-hmm. okay.
because he felt that the ball will move late. So
mm-hmm.
everyone had, but grip mm-hmm. to me is something, it is individual.
Mm-hmm.
There is no specific, you have to hold the ball like this, you have to hold the ball. You should not hold the ball very tight.
Mm-hmm.
That's,
okay.
that's what I would advise the
mm-hmm.
bowlers.
Okay. See, I watched one of your training videos where you said that you broke down the action into five components, which I found very interesting. That is
yeah.
the run up, load up, back foot landing, front foot landing, and follow through. So,
yeah.
I mean, could you talk about these as we go along? I mean, can you break down these various aspects of fast bowling? What constitutes a
yeah.
good run up, tempo, etc.?
See, the thing is, what I feel is, 70% of your effort and efficiency
mm-hmm.
of a fast bowler is in his run-up.
Yes.
And a fast bowler should have a very good run-up. If
mm-hmm.
you want to bowl quick, I'm talking about bowlers bowling even 135, 137, 138, they should have a very good run-up.
Yeah.
So then only they will be able to generate that speed. The momentum what they are gaining, they will be able to convert that into a good energy, and then they'll be able to bowl fast. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So 70% of effort is in a run-up.
Okay.
Run-up is something which differs from technique to technique.
Okay.
If you are a side-on bowler,
yeah.
you start slowly, gradually build up,
mm-hmm.
and you reach the optimum speed where you are balanced. You are
mm-hmm.
every step of your run-up, you should be balanced.
Mm-hmm.
So that is why this running, long distance running, and then the sprinting technique gives you that balance.
Right.
So that is why, because if you see a 100 meter sprinter,
mm-hmm.
suddenly he cannot run into 100 meters. So he will be practicing that for
mm-hmm.
so many days. So
mm-hmm.
maybe he will run 150 meters, 200 meters and try to run the 100 meters before
mm-hmm.
the competition.
Mm-hmm.
So that he will time it, so that he is making so much of perfection. So if he is able to do around 10,
mm-hmm.
and then he will try to do it less than 10.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So one day he will be able to do less than 10, one day he will be able to more than 10. So he has to find out where he is slowing down,
mm-hmm.
whether in the start or in the middle or towards the end. So then he will have to adjust his strides and all that. It's the same thing with bowling. So
okay.
you have to run, and so that your run up becomes smooth, when you run, it is not only the legs, it is the hands are very important. Your hands should, all the movements in your run up to, should be towards the target. Who is the target? The batsman is the target. So the both the hands should move. Like in walking, have you ever seen both the hands are not moving? Can you walk? So the hand movement is giving the balance actually. That makes you to pump your hands, pumping gives you more vigor to run actually.
And your so, arms, your arms, should they be closer to your body or, I mean,
by the side of the body, closer. By the side of the body. So there should be a gap between both arms moving towards the batsman. When your left leg is forward, right hand goes forward. So that is how it is. So the run up is the most important thing. And the next important thing is your load up. Load up is something which is going to get your body into a perfect pre-delivery stride, which will get your body into a perfect. Because, see, if for many days, everybody, every coach advocated, cricket is a side-on game. Cricket is a side-on. Everything should be side-on. Even Dennisley, first when he came in 1988, he said everybody should be side-on. But 88 May, he said that. 88 December, when he came, we had a couple of bowlers. They were not side on, their foot was facing down the wicket. No, they can be front on. I said, last time you same ball when you said side on. No, no, no. Now, since 1983 to 1987, Australia has done a research on. There are a lot of bowlers, orthopedic surgeon, a coach, and a biomechanics went around Australia. 40% of the under 19 boys are having stress fractures. So then, they saw the videos and then saw what is the problem. Because their back foot was not parallel to the bowling crease. It was facing down the wicket, facing the batsman. But because everybody said to be side on, everybody started twisting. Because of that, there was a twist happening on your spine. So that is not natural to the human body.
Right.
See, fast bowling as such is not natural to human body.
Right.
There are so many awkward movements happening.
Right.
So in spite of it, people play and then bowl fast and then they are successful also. So, but people should know, twisting is not going to get you into a side-on position. Because it was, if you go through the English coaching manual, they used to say wind and unwind. So, those days you run your shoulders and hips facing the batsman and they will jump and then twist in the air to get side on. That is how this side on bowling was described those days. That is what is wind and unwind. So, then people when they are in fit condition and then those days they played Australia will go to England for 6 months and then they'll play 1 week, one match and then take 4 days rest and then they used to go and ship. See, as you play, then you don't know how much you are twisting in the air. So maybe you would have gone fast side on also. Your shoulder will be facing the fine leg. But batsman is in a different angle. Then some of the, Graham McKenzie, who had taken 247 or 257 wickets till he toured India in 69. From here, they went to South Africa. He got only one wicket. So, what happened is, without his knowledge, he started twisting a lot and then he developed a back problem so that he lost his outswinger. After that, he was dropped. After the South African trip, he was dropped because everybody said, McKenzie has lost his outswinger. There's no nobody to tell them why it happened. So that is why I'm not advocating people to jump just for the heck of jumping or twisting for the heck of getting into side on. So your load up is something which will get you into a good posture whether you are going to be side on, semi open. That is determined by the your back foot landing. If your back foot landing is parallel and your front foot is in line with the back foot and the hips and shoulders are facing the leg side, then you can be side on. So if your back foot is not parallel and then it is seeing the fine leg or slightly away from fine leg, then you have to be semi-open.
Okay.
So don't try to manufacture a side-on action, manufacture a semi-open action. Whatever is naturally your back foot lands, based on that hip and shoulder position, then you determine whether he is going to be a side-on, semi-open or open-chested bowler.
So when you say side-on or semi-open, open-chested, this means your torso should be facing, if you, your torso faces the batsman, you are
side-on. If it is side-on, if you are a right-hand bowler, it will be facing the this side. So your left shoulder will be facing the batsman.
Okay. Yeah.
And right shoulder will be facing the backside. So totally it turns 90 degrees.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
90 degrees.
Yeah.
So what happens is, that is how I see load up is very, very important. And your arm paths are very, very important. See, when you load up, first, see, there is always a concept. See, you know, bicycle.
Right.
So why one pedal is up, one pedal is down? Generally, you'll be able to balance your one pedal. When you press the pedal which is up, then the other pedal comes up. So you press with the other leg.
Right.
So it is balanced. So it is the same case with bowling. Same cases. When the right hand is going up, your left hand has to be at the waist level.
Okay.
So use that as a pedal. Okay. When the left bowling arm is coming down, your non-bowling arm should go up.
Right.
See, it's always fast bowling is a one-sided activity.
Okay.
So when your first your right hand goes up.
Yeah.
And your left hand is at the waist level. Okay.
When
the left hand is coming down, bowling arm is coming down, your non-bowling arm goes up.
Yeah.
So by the time you have landed your back foot and your front leg is almost about to land. So then you position your front arm depending on your technique.
Okay.
So if it is side on, you look over your left elbow and see through your left eye.
Okay.
Okay. If you are semi-open, you don't need to see the batsman at all. Your hand will cover the batsman. That covering is only momentary. The moment you start pulling your non-bowling arm, automatically you will see the batsman. For a front arm bowler, your bowling arm goes outside the face, not too far, but you will be able to see with your right eye. For a side on, you see with the left eye. For open chested, front on bowler, you see with the right eye. So these are the positions which is very, very, the movement, the position is not more than 3-4 inches away from each other. Okay.
Right. And your non-bowling arm, when it comes down.
Non-bowling arm is very, very important.
That
is the arm which gives you accuracy. That is the arm which gives you the speed.
Okay.
Bowling arm does whatever you do with your non-bowling arm. You watch Malinga. Why he is round arm? Because his bowling arm doesn't go up. His bowling arm goes to shoulder level.
Yeah.
It goes towards mid-wicket.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So once the arm, see that is a whatever you know, if your arm goes like Malinga, then you will be a round arm bowler.
Right.
If your arm goes up, then you will be bowling over the top.
Okay.
So it is your left arm is like your steering wheel of a car.
And it should be strong when it
that
comes
controls.
Down.
Yeah, it should be firm and you should be able to use the left arm hard. So that will pull your bowling arm through and pull your body through into the delivery.
So like a lot of spinners, they pivot on their hips and, you know, on the toes when they deliver. Do the fast bowlers also need to do that?
No, fast bowlers should have a braced leg.
Okay.
They should have a braced leg. You see, there are a lot of theories going on. Because braced leg in the sense, there are people say because every time you run in and land on your back foot, and transfer the weight on the front foot, 8 to 10 times the body weight goes into each joint below the waist level.
Okay.
Suppose you are 70 kilos, you run in, 7 into 8 or 7 into 8, depending on how much you really put in effort.
Yeah.
Okay, 8 to 10 times the body weight. 7 into 8 is 560 kilos in the back foot, 560 kilos in the front foot per ball. you bowl 10 overs into 60 times, 60
right.
balls into 60 times.
Right.
So imagine the impact, because there are a lot of great commentators.
Mm-hmm.
They used to say when, you see, because we, Dennis Lee wanted a gym.
Mm-hmm.
So he says you should have very strong legs. You should have
mm-hmm.
strong quadriceps. You should have strong calf muscles. You should have strong hamstring and then
mm-hmm.
glutes
mm-hmm.
and back muscles and then the core. Okay?
Yeah.
So these are the muscles which will make you to, because basically a fast bowler runs, lands
mm-hmm.
on his foot.
Yeah.
First the ankle stabilizes. On top of the ankle,
mm-hmm.
the knee stabilizes. On top of the knee, your pelvis stabilizes.
Mm-hmm.
On top of it, you have a big torso
mm-hmm.
which stabilizes.
Right.
Okay, then the hand starts rotating
mm-hmm.
and the ball, your arm stabilizes and then the ball goes out of your hand
mm-hmm.
through your fingertips.
Right.
So many chain reaction happening. So
mm-hmm.
for that, so every step you keep forward, you have to be balanced.
Right.
So that is why I work more on stability
mm-hmm.
and balance.
Right. Right. So no wonder they say bowling is a lot ground up. You bowl from your feet as much as you bowl from your arms. Right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. And sir, how important is the head position when you deliver the ball? So does your front leg, bowling arm and head, do they need to be in a straight line?
Head should be stable.
Mm-hmm.
You see, the thing is, there are some bowlers, they are not able to see the batsman. They tend to fall their head to
mm-hmm.
see the batsman, which is mm-hmm. not good. Because your head
mm-hmm.
is the control of your body.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Head controls your body. Okay?
Right.
So, if your head falls away, even the body will also fall away.
Mm-hmm.
So your head has to be straight looking through your arms.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Right.
When you are running, your head is fixed towards the batsman.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe a little bit in front when you run 5-6 feet in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
When you load up, you look at the spot where you want to bowl.
Right.
Okay, head has to
mm-hmm.
be still.
Mm-hmm.
It should not be...
Mm-hmm.
moving at all. Head
mm-hmm.
has to be still. Head
mm-hmm.
is very, very still, because head is a position. Head makes your body to run straight,
mm-hmm.
stand straight or walk straight.
Yeah.
So your head should not be away from the equilibrium.
Right.
It has to be within the body.
Right. And the front toe of your landing foot, where should exactly it be pointing towards? Towards the batsman or in the straight line?
See, the thing is, the old English coaching manual said,
mm-hmm.
aiming to face the fine leg.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I would say if that is the case, it is fine, because people tend to aiming to face the fine leg, they tend to twist the try to get the right leg towards fine leg, they go too far across.
Right.
As long as it is straight,
mm-hmm.
facing towards the batsman,
mm-hmm.
so you will be able to pivot and then you will be able to follow through better, come out of the danger area.
Right.
Whereas if your front foot is going towards fine leg, sometimes you may get locked.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So you may not be able to follow through properly.
Mm-hmm.
See, those days, see, the thing is, what happens, fast bowling became more scientific after Dennis Lee got injured
mm-hmm.
and he was the first guinea pig for the biomechanist. Okay.
Yeah.
So they did a lot of research on his action, and then so many, they found out about three different type of techniques, and then a lot of research.
Mm-hmm.
Australia invested a lot of money and time and energy on research of fast bowling.
Okay.
That is how they could, at one stage, Australia was producing world-class fast bowlers regularly.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay, so, and they also sold that the coaching methodology world over, because if you see at one stage, even in IPL, there are 6 Australian coaches.
Right.
In English county, so many Australian players playing, Australian coaches coaching.
Right.
So wherever a coaching job was there, they wanted to get only Australian, because so much of research material was available.
Mm-hmm. Right. You spoke about follow through, sir. How important it is. You have delivered the ball and now...
follow through is something, because As I said, 8 to 10 times the body weight goes into the delivery.
Yeah.
When you follow through, that is the force absorption.
Okay.
You cannot immediately stop after bowling.
Mm, right. Mm.
So you have to run a few more steps. Maybe if you watch it, you'll be handshaking distance near the batsman.
Yeah.
So that will absorb the shock of the impact you have created in your delivery strike. Follow through is very, very important. That depends on how you use your non-bowling arm, how your alignment of feet is.
Okay.
Alignment of your hips and shoulders are.
Okay.
Follow through is something not getting your hand across your body. It is not follow through.
Okay.
It is, yeah, good follow through is you will get is because Dennis Lee used to say he used to almost touch the ground when he bowled.
Okay.
His fingers will touch the ground. During the season, he will lose his nail.
Oh.
Half of the nail he will lose because he will scrap the ground.
Right.
So, the thing is, that is because at least you should be very close to the ankle. See, that means you are putting the weight in body weight into the delivery.
Right.
So, if you don't bend, then you are bowling with your arms.
Right.
You're bowling with your arms.
That is why they say bending the back adds pace, you know.
No, you are, see, let me tell you one thing. Your back is designed to do forward bending and little bit of backwards bending.
Yeah.
And the side bending. Yeah. But the same back is not designed to twist. But there is a bit of twist happening in the fast bowling also. That is why I'm telling you, because there are, irrespective of technique, fast bowling is inherent of injuries, okay?
Right.
Okay, so that is why what Dennis, I learned from Dennis Lee, what the technique, what I teach is, it is a prevention of injuries also. It is only prevention. I cannot say he will not get injury.
Yeah.
Anybody who bowls 140 plus will have injury because there are a lot of awkward movements while bowling. So the body is not designed to bowl fast. Still people are bowling, there will be a niggle here and there, or maybe a back catch or something like that. But in most of the time, they will come out of it in maybe a week or week and a half or two or something like that. But not a major injury. If, suppose somebody has a stress fracture, that means there is something major fault is there in his bowling technique.
Right.
Or his fitness preparation is not good. Or his match preparation or preparation is not good, or the very weak body. So, is technically, basically most of the injuries happen because of a flaw in technique.
Okay.
But to me, not many people look into it.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is always a thing in India that, no, don't change this action, don't change it. It is not the changing of the action, it is fine-tuning.
Right.
If somebody is having a bad run-up, he's going to have a bad action.
Yeah.
So, unless you correct that, see, the thing is, when I coach, I do it in a slow motion. I have a computer software to see the action in slow motion.
Yeah.
So, what will happen is, I will watch him in slow motion and then stop it in the two steps before the delivery strike, before the load up, and then do it frame by frame. First, see the load up. So, when he loads up, how his back foot is landing. And then once the arm path going behind the body, how the front foot is landing, how he's using the front foot. After, between landing of the back foot and then landing of the front foot, how his hips and shoulders are, whether it is aligned with his foot landing, and whether he is able to use the non-bowling arm to the best of his ability, and how his follow through is. These are the things. See, actually, most of the coaches, they see only the top half of a bowler. They don't see the bottom half.
Okay.
Above the waist only they see. And then they see his side arm. Actually, if you see them, you would have been front on, because he was asked to twist, he would have gone side on at the top, but the bottom he will be front on.
Yeah.
So, you have to see as a coach, not from one position. You have to go and see the bowler from backside, from front side, from the sides. So, 3-4 and then you assess whether his foot is landing correctly, whether his feet are aligned and his hips and shoulders are aligned.
Right.
Where is his front arm? Is it too far away from the face or in front of the face or outside the face, depending on the technique? So these are the things a coach, if he starts analyzing, then he'll be able to find out the fault.
Right.
So what I do, there is always a cause and the effect. Most of the coaches, they see the effect.
Okay.
But it is actually, you have to see the cause.
Right.
Why the effect coming, when you see, because of the cause, only the effect is coming. So, if you keep on saying that you are falling away, why he is falling away, a coach has to tell him how to correct it, a coach has to tell him.
Yeah.
So, if you find out the cause, then it will be easier for you to correct the bowler or a batsman, whatever it is. But the problem in India is, if you go and talk to a bowler, no, don't change his action, don't change his action. No, he is bowling very well. But the same coach, if he is a batsman, batsman is playing, and then no, your bottom hand is coming, turn like this, your back lift is coming from third slip, or even, and it is coming in a arc so that you are coming late to the ball. So many technical things they are saying for a batsman.
Right.
For a bowler, they don't accept. The team coaches, they don't accept. No, don't tell him. This happens in a lot of places.
Right.
In IPL, Ranji Trophy, everywhere.
That you spoke about wrist position. How important is it to have a firm, straight wrist? And a lot of bowlers, they...
See, that is why, because what happens is, you cannot... The wrist comes into the play only in the last few fractions of a second.
Right.
The wrist, naturally, if you want to use the wrist has to go away from the batsman.
Okay.
Okay. And with the arm going, then the wrist will follow the ball. The wrist and fingers have to follow the ball so that you get that backspin. You induce backspin on the ball. That is what is going to make you swing the ball, okay?
Right.
So the ball will go on the same. If you have seen Zahir Khan or Srishant or Irfan Pathan, there's so many boys who have come to the net, Pace Foundation, they had that straight seam. Venkatesh Prasad, so many bowlers, they had very straight seam. Because that is what, because the way in which the bowling arm path were taught by Dennis Lee, and I developed that, that helps them to have a very smooth turnover of your arm. That makes you to keep the wrist in the right position. Otherwise, a lot of guys, you can see, they cock the wrist and run.
Right.
And that will slow down your arm
rotation.
Okay,
so suppose if one has to ball an outswinger, so where does the, what should be the ideal wrist position?
No, see, the thing is, wrist position is right behind the ball, because wrist position is just, at the time of delivery, the wrist will go, you are bowling arm at the top, at the 12 o'clock position, wrist will go back a little bit.
Yeah, right.
You cock your wrist at the time, and when it comes down, automatically, the fingertips pulls the ball down.
Right.
So, that is what is wrist action, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So then the ball goes with a backspin.
Mm-hmm.
If the ball hits the seam, then it generates a bit of bounce also. It generates a bit of pace and bounce.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That friction on the wicket, if the wicket is green, then the speed generation is more.
Right.
If the wicket is very rough and then dry, then the bounce generation is more.
Mm-hmm. Does the action has a role to play in generating swing?
Yes, to some extent, yes. Because there are some guys who have weird action, still they move the ball. But ultimately, it is your body posture and the release which determines your swing, and the finish determines your swing.
Okay.
It is basically, you should be able to get into a good posture and then make the ball to go out of your hand, the wrist is following the ball.
Mm-hmm.
See, so the ball, how it swings, because the ball has to go on the seam, then only it is a wobble seam will never swing.
Right.
Okay, the ball, because aerodynamics are such,
mm-hmm.
the ball has to go on the seam, but it creates a turbulence around the ball, depending on the wind conditions and all those things, the ball starts moving.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's all the more reason you should have a very good wrist and to swing the ball.
Right. So that's
in reverse swing, it's all the more important.
Mm-hmm.
Your wrist has to be really firm and then behind the ball.
Right. So that swing, that is movement in the air, and when you try to seam the ball, that is off the pitch. So, I mean, that happens because of the pitch conditions, but can, as a bowler, can you, with your action or your release, affect that?
Bowler can be swing and, it's always swing and seam only.
Mm-hmm.
Swing and seam, mm-hmm. always. Because what happens is, when the ball goes on the seam, hits the wicket on the seam,
mm-hmm.
and it will start moving either way. That is what is seaming.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Swing is something, the ball will start swinging in the air.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. And sir, do you think that there's too much reliance on variations these days and not on a stock ball? I mean, in T20s one can understand, but you see that in ODIs also.
So ODIs, because after the T20s, mm-hmm. okay, because see in ODI, mm-hmm. after 10 overs,
mm-hmm.
between 20 to 40 overs, you are bowling four people with the outside the circle.
Right.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
so it's going to be very difficult for the bowler where you will keep those four bowlers,
mm-hmm.
four fielders.
Right.
A fast bowler cannot keep three fielders on one side and bowl.
Right.
So it's very difficult because even a bad shot is given mm-hmm. four runs.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Even an inner edge, outer edge,
right.
top edge, everything is because mm-hmm. people suck because mm-hmm. they see only runs. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So the thing is, that is why you have to be unpredictable.
Mm-hmm.
So batsman should not find out that you are, suppose if you start bowling the same line and length, the batsman will line you up and hit you over the top,
right.
through the line.
Right.
See, the thing with the new bats and all those things, and then mm-hmm. you have got only one bouncer mm-hmm. in T20 and two bouncers in one day game.
Mm-hmm.
You make no bouncers at all. Let me see how many mm-hmm. batsmen are comfortable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because in 70s and all, people bowl four bouncers, five bouncers and over.
Right.
So batsmen are in too much weather. If you go up, then you'll start bowling a bouncer.
Mm-hmm.
That's because they are not, they are staying, coming into the crease and playing.
Mm-hmm.
Even in T20, they are coming into the crease, try to change the length of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
So those days it was not there because they'll play from the crease only.
Right.
So basically, the batting dynamics have changed.
Mm-hmm.
So the bowler has to bring in more variation.
Mm-hmm.
So to fool the batsman, to mm-hmm. make the batsman to commit mistakes.
Right.
Because previously there was a bouncer and a yorker.
Mm-hmm.
So now they have a wide yorker,
mm-hmm.
they have a slower bouncer,
mm-hmm.
and then they bowl a slower one.
Right.
And they bowl a back of the hand slower one.
Right.
Now they bowl a knuckle ball.
Right.
So many variations because mm-hmm. it is still, he can use it. Suppose mm-hmm. if a batsman is very well set in a four-day or five-day game, suddenly
yes.
you push in a knuckle ball.
Mm-hmm.
He tries to drive that and then gets caught at the mid-on or mid-off or a lock-up.
Right.
So the variations have come because the cricket basically is a batsman-oriented
right.
team.
Right.
So why not the batsman can have, because he cannot bowl. Wide,
mm-hmm.
you cannot bowl more than two bouncers in an over.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot bowl a beamer.
Mm-hmm.
So many things are there. No? You cannot have more than five fielders on the leg side.
Yeah.
So many things are for playing for the batsman.
Right.
So bowlers has what?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing.
Nothing at all. Right. So when a bowler who plays all three formats plays in the longer format after playing, let's say, a T20 league or a series. What are the adjustments that you would recommend in terms of mindset, in terms of length,
the
maybe?
The length changes.
Hmm.
T20 length is different. T20 length is between 6 to 8 meters.
Right.
So one day is between 5 and 7 meters.
Mm-hmm.
Four-day, five-day is 4 to 5 meters
okay.
from the stump.
Right.
So the length changes.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing is, when the length changes, the ball swings more in a four-day game.
Right.
In a T20, white ball swings only for maximum 4 overs.
Right.
But in a 4-day, 5-day game,
mm-hmm.
the ball moves a lot.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then you have a reverse swing also. That also moves a lot.
Right, right.
So you should have all variations because the thing mm-hmm. is in a 4-day game, you have to use the reverse swing.
Mm-hmm.
Even in a 1-day game, but T20, yeah. not much, but still the, depending on the Indian wickets, mm-hmm. still we can use right. 1 or 2 hours of reverse swing.
Mm-hmm.
But in a 1-day game, definitely 25 overs each side,
mm-hmm.
still you can use reverse swing.
Right.
So, but in a 5-day game,
yeah.
naturally, yes, around 30th, 40th over playing in mm-hmm. subcontinent conditions, the wicket mm-hmm. will become rough
mm-hmm.
so that you can use the reverse swing.
Mm-hmm.
So, particularly, you try to bowl a Yorker, reverse swing is very, very effective.
Right.
Even a set batsman can mm-hmm. be beaten. So, mm-hmm. if you have a bowler who can bowl 140 plus, reverse swing is very effective.
Right.
So, like that. The length change and according to the wicket you have to bowl the length because mm-hmm. the length is not something
mm-hmm.
which is mandatory. You have to bowl between 4 and 6.
Right.
Because length changes from batsman to batsman, wicket mm-hmm. to wicket.
Right.
Only okay. the line
mm-hmm.
is something again you have to change according to batsman.
Right.
Length is something which is mandatory for any bowler.
Mm-hmm.
Mandatory. Length is mandatory. Whether you are a spinner or a fast bowler, your length is mandatory. Line changes according to the batsman.
Right. Right. So broadly speaking,
yeah.
what is the key to set up a batsman? I think I know these are different for different batsmen, but if you are a bowler and what are
basically
some...
Basically, you have to watch the batsman actually.
Mm-hmm.
Because nowadays the video technology is there so that you can watch the batsman beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
Suppose if I am playing against... Australia,
mm-hmm.
then I will watch a batsman who is opening
mm-hmm.
Labuschagne, what he is doing, whether he is moving forward first or mm-hmm. going back and across,
mm-hmm.
or what he does, whether he is seeing his grip, whether he is a bottom hand player or a top hand player,
mm-hmm.
whether he is very strong on the leg side or very strong on the off side, whether he is a back foot player or a front foot player, and then see his dismissals.
Right.
What type of ball he gets out.
Mm-hmm.
When he gets out, how many in first 10 balls or 15 balls, what is his strike rate?
Mm-hmm.
How many 4 hitting balls he gets it? See, so mm-hmm. many data is the video analyst can give you.
Yeah.
So whether...
As a bowler, how much can you remember?
See, the thing is, let me tell you one thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you want... The thing is, you have to be a smart cricketer.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to succeed in T20 and 1-day games.
Right.
You have to be smart. You have to be one up on the batsman.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot expect the moment the captain knows this fellow doesn't know anything and then he will bring in somebody who is smarter.
Yeah.
So today's cricket is something you have to be smart.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot be a dumb,
mm-hmm.
dumb fellow who doesn't know what ball to bowl. Because the thing is, the captain cannot be coming and telling you this ball you bowl after, this ball you bowl length, this ball you bowl outside, this ball you bowl bouncer. Captain cannot really. You should
right.
find out the batsman
mm-hmm.
and then bowl. See, in T20 and other things, they bowl a Yorker and follow up with a bouncer, or they bowl a bouncer, follow up with a Yorker.
Mm-hmm.
So, like that, there are certain patterns which they follow,
mm-hmm.
or maybe bouncer, the next ball could be a knuckle ball.
Yeah.
So that when you bowl a bouncer, the batsman doesn't come forward. They
mm-hmm.
stay in the crease. Whether they is going to bowl a backup length ball, then
mm-hmm.
you bowl a knuckle ball.
Mm-hmm.
So when they see the ball is around length or slightly back of length, and then so it's a hittable ball, so he tries to hit.
Mm-hmm.
So miss hits, and then he gets a wicket.
Right.
So like that, you have to set up a batsman according to the batsman, according to the wicket and situation. So
mm-hmm.
many things are there.
Right. You, I was just looking through one of these interviews of Wasim Akram recently, and he said
yeah.
that, you know, at the top of the run-up, a bowler should be ready with 3 plans, especially when you are bowling in a T20
yeah.
match.
So yeah.
Plan A, B, C. So, possible is it to, isn't it an information overload for a young bowler?
No, I don't think so, because if you
okay.
practice that in the nets, see,
mm-hmm.
that is what... When you practice,
mm-hmm.
you simulate match conditions.
Okay.
So you go and challenge a person. So this is, I am bowling the top six overs.
Mm-hmm.
This is my field.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Right.
So then you can say, okay, you know about your own team batsman, what his flaws and strength and weaknesses are.
Right.
So you can accordingly to his strength, you want to attack his strength or you want to attack his weaknesses.
Mm-hmm.
So that depends on the bowler. There are some bowlers, aggressive bowlers.
Right.
They go for this strength.
Mm-hmm.
And then they try to attack his strength and then try to get a wicket. There are some bowlers who go for the weaknesses and then try to bowl to their weaknesses and then get it. The thing is, it's psychological, okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
When the batsman knows that he has got out like this and then he has set a field like that, psychologically you are trying to hit him.
Mm-hmm.
This is a field I'm getting, you are going to get out like that.
Right.
That is where the bowler also will be more aggressive and then try to show that this is the field I've got.
Right.
So, so like that, you can always, you should have plan A and plan B, definitely. At least two plans you should have.
Right. Right.
You cannot go with just one plan, and then that plan fails, then you are letting go of the whole team.
Right. These days, most teams have one or two bowlers who bowl 140 or 145 plus. But the perception is that while the pace has gone up, the intimidation has gone down. So, like, for example, you grew up watching West Indian pacers. Many fast bowlers today might match up the pace, but not the intimidation. How do you see this?
West Indian fast bowling stock has gone down.
Mm-hmm.
You tell me, who is bowling 145 plus consistently in West Indies? Hardly any.
Yeah.
Hardly any, because maybe with the new ball they will bowl, after that it comes down to 137, 135 like that.
Right.
Hardly any.
Mm-hmm.
Kimar Roche bowls, but he bowls all over the place.
Yeah.
Ocean Thomas, he plays only white ball cricket. I don't think he plays test cricket.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see anybody who bowls quick in West Indies because that fast bowling stock has gone.
Mm-hmm.
In Australia, they have Pat Cummins bowls, Mitchell Stark bowls, and Hazelwood bowls in Australia, at least 140 bowls.
Right.
Beyond that, they don't have.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond that, they don't. See, the thing is, what happens is you cannot have every bowler bowling around 140.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot have every bowler bowling around 140.
Mm-hmm.
Application has changed.
Yeah.
Okay, batting application has changed. See, the thing is, that is why I'm telling you, because he is trying to hit, if he takes the top edge,
right,
it goes over the fielder, the wicket keeper, still it's a six. It takes a, Bumrah bowls a brilliant yorker, inner edge goes for a four.
Right.
He bowls a brilliant bowler, top edge goes for a six.
Mm-hmm.
First two balls, 10 runs.
Mm-hmm.
You are defending 3 overs, 45 runs.
Mm-hmm.
Naturally, he will go defensive.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because he doesn't want to lose the match.
Mm-hmm. Right.
See, that is what I'm telling you. Because what happens is, this mischiefs also has a value today.
Yeah.
And there are some bowlers, batsmen, like if you bowl to, see, I'll tell you one match. I think it is Deccan Chargers or Sunrisers versus RCB.
Okay.
Dale Steyn was one of the best bowlers in the world.
Right.
But AB de Villiers took him to cleaners.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
in two overs or three overs or something, some 40, 42 runs and Deccan Chargers or Sunrise, they are in a winning position. AAP won the match for RCB.
Right, right, right. Remember that, yeah.
So, they, because some innovations have come in batting.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay, even, see, the thing is, they start moving in the crease.
Mm-hmm.
So, the bowler feels whether to bowl towards him or bowl away from him.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you have a plan to bowl away from AB de Villiers, he moves into that line and then try to hit you towards fine leg. Because I saw one match, Irfan Pathan, Delhi Daredevils versus RCB. AB de Villiers got some 20 balls, 45 or 50 or something.
Okay.
He was sweeping, reverse sweeping and the normal sweeping of Irfan Pathan.
Right.
Like a paint brush he was playing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
4, 4, 6, 4 like that.
Right.
So, then you will bowl. That is where a real bowler will come in, emerge.
Mm-hmm.
If he's a smart bowler, and he see, the thing is, there is a stroke of luck also there.
Yeah.
Okay. You need that luck. You bowl that length and the batsman should miss it.
Mm-hmm.
So you see, in AB's case, he will make you to bowl to his strength.
Mm-hmm.
But if you change your plan, then you're stuck.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So that's not, because that's the ability the bowler should have. And okay, come what may, I will do what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And the captain should back the bowler also.
Right.
Nobody is bowling to give runs, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody trying to get his wicket or but some days it works, some days it doesn't work.
Right.
So T20 is sheer hit and run, that's all.
Yeah. So you talked about fitness in one of your previous questions. And is bowling fitness different from your gym fitness? How much emphasis would you give on your gym physique and your bowling?
In the gym, you are not running at all.
Mm-hmm.
So bowling, that's why, as I said, 70% of efficiency and effort is in running.
Yeah.
So you have to run, and just jogging or sprinting is not going to make you, because in bowling, you have to start slowly, gradually build up, and then you load up. All this bowling is a coordinated effort, okay?
Right.
So unless you practice that, then only the coordination will become good.
Mm-hmm.
Slightest miss in your coordination, then you will lose whatever good technique you have. So if you want to play, you are coming out of injury, if you want to play a T20 game, you should be able to bowl 6 or 7 overs on the trot.
Mm-hmm.
Then only you are fit enough to bowl 4 overs in a match, or at least 5 overs on the trot.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot just bowl 12 balls and then I'm fit enough to play. No.
Mm-hmm.
If you are playing a one day, you should be able to bowl 7 or 8 overs on the trot.
Mm-hmm.
Because you will bowl at least 4 to 5 overs in the on the trot.
Right. So
if you are playing a test match, then you have to bowl 10 to 11 overs.
Mm-hmm.
At least for a test, they should be able to bowl at least 3-4 sessions like that.
Mm-hmm.
Then you are fit enough. So then only you will be able to set it correctly, your coordination correctly.
Mm-hmm. And that happens with bowling, I guess, on the net. So that can't be done in the gym.
No.
Mm-hmm.
No, you cannot do it. You have to see. That's a bowling fitness. Max fitness itself is different.
Mm-hmm.
See, your general fitness. Max fitness is different. You should be able to bowl.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, you should be able to field, and then you have to come back and bowl.
Mm-hmm.
With the injury, whether first spell you will be fresh, and then you will bowl second spell, you will not be able to, the where you got injured will be sore, you will not give 100%.
Right.
So all these things are there.
Right. So I can say that if I have a strong shoulder that I have built it through workout and all, lifting, so that doesn't guarantee that I can be able to bowl fast unless I don't have those bowling muscles.
No. See, the thing is, let me tell you one thing. Because then all the weightlifters will be the fastest bowlers of the world.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, the thing is, it helps a bit to build the inner strength because of the awkward movements.
Right.
The joints need a lot of muscle support.
Right.
So that the injuries are reduced.
Mm-hmm.
But the more you do, it is not going to help you to get better or faster. No.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is wrong. You need power to run, because let me tell you one thing, because I don't want to name the cricketer who was in the commentary.
Right.
India had so many fast bowlers, he said.
Mm-hmm.
But all these guys went to the Pace Foundation, they became bodybuilders.
Okay.
Then I rang up that commentator and asked him, have you ever worked with Brett Lee or Jason Gillespie? Have you ever seen them training? How is Ben Johnson? How muscular he is? He took some drugs and then he did 9.5, 100 meters, 9.5, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
But still, the drug didn't make him do, but the thing is, he had that running talent, no?
Right.
So, you need strength.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to be a fast bowler, you need strength on your legs, core, and even on your shoulders.
Yeah.
Then only you can be. He can bowl quick.
Right. And I guess that's the reason why players like Nehra and Agarkar, who are not very bulky, very skinny guys, they never dropped pace. They always bowled between 135 to 140 throughout their career.
But I won't say that about Nehra because he had a lot of injuries. He broke down so many times. But Agarkar, yes, because he had a very smooth run-up. You see, Agarkar had one of the best run-ups I've seen. And very good arm action. Very good arm action. He was a bit round arm, but still his arm action was very good. Very simple action. He didn't complicate things.
And how do you train in off-season? I mean, these days there are no off-seasons, so to say.
If you had a very long season, if you had a very long season, that is, see, in India, the season is around 8 months.
Okay? Right.
You play club cricket, you play office cricket, you play Ranji Trophy cricket, and if you play Dilip Trophy and all those things, then the off-season, definitely will take a break for about 3 to 4 months, if you are a bowler. Because the fatigue, will once it sets in, then it will not allow you to get 100%.
Right.
So you have to really take a break away from cricket, relax completely, and then come back, work hard for the next 1.5 months, build up, and then that will last for the whole season. Because the problem is people are not doing it.
All right. So is it a fact that in off season you generally look to put up some muscle if you have to, and in season
not muscle, you can put on some weight.
Yeah,
you can put on some weight, eat well, sleep well, relax completely, go out of the game, maybe do a little bit of jogging here and there to keep your leg muscles right.
Yeah,
and then slowly come back into the fitness, and then you'll be fresh. See, the thing is, a fast bowler, if he's 100% fresh, he gives 120%. If he is 90% fresh, he gives only 70%.
Okay.
So that's the difference.
Great. Right. So see, a lot of bowling experts say that a Yorker takes a lot out of your body as compared to a bouncer. So is it true? And if it is, what is the science?
See, what I feel is a bouncer takes about at least 2 or 3 balls energy. Yorker, I don't think that means. Because Yorker, you need, the bouncer, you don't need to be accurate. Because you pitch around the middle of the wicket, it will be going over the head. But for a Yorker, the accuracy is very, very essential. And then you have to bowl. If you miss a Yorker, either it's going to be a close ball, it's a 4 hour.
Right.
In a 1 day hour. So, the perfection is much more in a Yorker. I would say more than the effort, it is a perfection. It's much more bigger in a Yorker than a bouncer.
Right. And it is likely to go wrong any time, even in how, no matter how.
The rest of the bowlers trying a Yorker, they would have bowled full tosses.
Right.
Yeah, it happens. That is why Malinga, he practices his Yorkers before the game.
Right.
At least he will bowl 20, 30 Yorkers. He will not bowl to a batsman, but he will bowl to his
shoes.
Keep 2 shoes on the crease, and then he'll, because that is his stop baller, basically.
Do you think a bowler has to
be... People, when you face Malinga, people think when he is going to bowl the Yorker or that length where he will move the ball. Left-hander, no? He moves the ball into the left-hander.
Yeah.
So, they are waiting for that ball.
Right. So, do you think you have to be mentally strong to pull off a Yorker in a T20 or a one-day game?
Right? Yes. Unless you practice that, you will not get it.
Right.
Yorker is one ball, is the most difficult ball to bowl. Bouncer is not that difficult. Yorker is very difficult.
Right.
Because unless you practice that, so that timing has to come. The release time has to synchronize with your action. See, if you are bowling a length ball, your release point is in line with your front toe.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And if you want to bowl a short ball, then it goes beyond the front toe.
Okay.
For a Yorker, it is exactly the reverse. Your Yorker length, you have to find out from where you release, you are able to hit the Yorker correctly. That takes time. It has to be from behind.
Okay, from behind the toe, the release point.
Yeah, you have to go from the toe, you have to go back.
Okay.
Go back to your arm and the toe. That see, for a length, if it is in line with the toe, for a ball which is going towards the batsman, then it has to be behind. Then only the trajectory will hit the Yorker length. Yorker is something which is a length. It is not. It is created by the batsman.
Okay.
Batsman creates a Yorker.
All right.
You don't bowl the bat. You bowl that length only, after length, the batter creates it.
Right. So these days, for many batsmen, I think MS Dhoni started it, they sit deep in the crease waiting for a yorker and they convert it into a low full toss or a half volley. So in that case, what are you left with as a bowler?
Same Dhoni, when you bowl the yorker, wide yorker, he was not successful. If you bowl the yorker for Dhoni on the stump, he's very successful. Because that is his arc is around mid on mid wicket. The same, he doesn't hit the yorker through mid off or covers. Why the yorker? Because in 2008, Glenn McGrath found out that.
Okay.
He said, you bowl a yorker also awesome, he is not that comfortable. So everybody started bowling yorkers.
Yeah.
So this is what the video technology can find out, the strength and weaknesses of a batsman.
Right. And see, we are coming towards the end of this chat, sir. Just a few quick questions. I mean, you have mentored a lot of bowlers through MRFPS Academy and like guys like Munaf Irfan. One thing that a lot of people have noticed is, see, when these bowlers come to the international scene, they are quite quick, and as they go along, the pace drops. So it's not happening now, but it used to happen like 10 years back. Could you tell me why was that the trend?
Who was the coach at the time? My only answer is, who was the coach at the time? Because people have been asked to remodel their bowling. You should be bowling like Glenn McGrath. Glenn McGrath could bowl 138 in Australia, 135 in England, and then 127 to 132 in India. Because he felt that according to the conditions, he will change his speed.
Okay.
But Munaf, when he came, he bowled 147. And then, in fact, when this fellow Siva came to the Pace Foundation, he said, from which tree you pluck him? Because this fellow is making me hop every ball.
Yeah.
And England bowlers, batsman had no clue when he made his debut in Chandigarh. But after that, people advised him to bowl within yourself. So he was happy, because when the, whatever the Indian team coach says, he has to do it, is it not? Okay. Otherwise, he will be out of the team.
Right.
So, and then the injury scare also came. So all of them, so okay, if you bowl around 132, 135, okay, we are fine. The coach is happy and body is also not bothering much. So that they settle down on that. That's it.
Okay, so they say...
But in Irfan's case, his technique went for a toss. That is why he lost his speed. After that, when he came back and played his T20 World Cup in 2007, he was different.
Yes.
2004, he made his debut. 2006, he lost his way. His technique became wrong.
Right.
So after that, he came to the Pace Foundation, he remodeled it. And then he became all right. 2007 World Cup in the final, he was the man of the match. And
right.
Every match he bowled well, and then he was playing.
They say captain makes fast bowlers. Do you agree?
Yes. The thing is, if the captain is encourages a fast bowler, and he look up to the fast bowler to give the breakthrough, it is yes. See, there was a stage at one stage, a captain made spinners for India.
Right.
Like you had spinning quadrant, all four are match spinning.
Yeah.
So the captain thought, okay, fast bowlers is needed. Okay, straight away, Fishan can bowl with a new ball. One batsman or Abid Ali or somebody who can bat also. So that, like that, they had the team. But Gavaskar opened the bowling for some matches.
Right.
Eknath Solkar opened the bowling. So, like that. So, definitely, yes, because nowadays, fast bowlers are, when you have a bowler like Shami and Bumrah, why not the captain will look up to them?
Right.
And actually, Shami is a very good red ball bowler.
Yeah.
And then he can reverse the ball very well.
Right.
So, naturally, and Bumrah, people still finding out how to negate him. So that they try to give more respect and then play naturally, the other bowler is to get advantage of that.
Would you say this is the perhaps the best time, a golden generation of fast bowlers in India? We have four or five of our bowlers who can bowl really fast. And
Because it is all because previously, see, India never had a role model till Kapil Dev came. So after that, so many fast bowlers have played. Srinath came, Zahir Khan came, so many players have played. Munaf Patel, Irfan Pathan, all these guys, Srishant was there. So so people know that, okay, if you are a fast bowler, you see, now India, whichever tour they go for, they pick four fast bowlers.
Right.
So at least six, eight of them can fight for that four places.
Right.
So naturally, more fast bowlers will come when you have role models.
And see, you have had a had long career in fast bowling, and you would have seen bowlers from across the world. Could you name me one or two fast bowlers who can you say that are the most complete fast bowlers you have seen?
Dennis Lee is one, Andy Roberts.
Okay, and what made them complete fast bowlers in your book?
Sorry.
And what made them complete fast bowlers in your book?
No, they could bowl. T20 was not there at the time. One day and test record was very good. Test record is unbelievable. Dennis Lee had 70 test matches, 350 wickets.
Right.
And 70% of the wickets is top 5 batsmen. And then he had played 20 World Series test match. In that he had 105 wickets. And the World Series, something the best of best players in the world played.
Right.
The cream of world cricket. Was playing that. In that, he got 105 wickets.
Yeah.
And Andy Roberts, see, the thing is, West Indian, he came and played in India. Irrespective of wickets, he got 30, 35 wickets.
Yeah.
He never saw whether it's a turning track, grass or tape wicket. He bowled quick and then made the batsman to run away.
Yeah.
These are two bowlers, I think. I think in the later part, Wasim Akram.
Yeah.
Akar, Richard Hadley, complete fast bowler.
Right. I think one thing common in all those names is they were all very quick through the air. So they didn't rely.
All of them were close to 140 plus.
Yeah.
Close to 140 or plus.
Right.
So that is where, see, the thing is 135 to 140, it's only 5 kilometers, but it makes a big difference.
Right. And are there any memorable spells that you would like to recall that you have watched or heard of or seen in your lifetime?
So many. Because Andy Roberts bowled a spell in Chennai test match. We couldn't see the ball after lunch. 74-75.
Yeah. Was that quick?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Malcolm Marshall was a great bowler. Complete bowler. So many. Richard Hadley bowled in that 1989 test series in India. All three turning tracks, he was highest wicket taker.
Right.
He made the ball talk literally on those wickets. I remember in a Hyderabad test match, Srikanth was playing Richard Hadley. All of us watching the television, we thought it was the edge. Srikanth was out, umpire gave not out. The ball was caught almost wide of first slip. So much of deviation off the wicket.
So the last one is for the any young fast bowlers who would be reading this, could you give them any tips to avoid injuries and sustain their careers?
See, basically they should train well, they should run well, and then they should look at their technique. They should not be copying somebody else's action. Idle modeling is very bad. I think these are the things. Basically, they should go to a good coach for. They should learn the techniques, because when they are young, their foundation should be strong. Then you can build on that. And if, see, like the case of in the Under-19 World Cup, somebody is bowling 147, 149. Speed is something which you have the potential to increase the speed if you have the fast pitch muscles. Don't try to run after the speed. Speed is not the thing, but at that speed, you should be able to move the ball. Swing is, along with the speed, is dangerous than mere speed.
Alone. Yeah. All right, Mr. Sikkar, it was great talking to you, and you have been very kind with your time.
So that was T.A. Sikkar with his insights on fast bowling. Hope you enjoyed listening to it, and don't forget to tune in for the next edition of First Post Masterclass. Until then, stay safe, and goodbye.